mic, and it was sitting in my lap, and it flopped on the ground. But that special music didn't flop on the ground. What a blessing that was. Amen. Well, it's back to school Sunday, and I want to get back to Bethel. So take your Bible, and we're looking at Genesis 35. And as you turn there, I'm thinking of a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob, turn there. I'm thinking of a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob told to go marry the right kind of girl. By the way, your decision on who you marry is the most important decision of your life next to salvation. And you're not going to meet the right kind of girl in a bar. The best place to meet her is in a church. Amen. A Bible-believing church. And that's where I met my wife, so I could tell you that. But anyway, Isaac told Jacob, don't do like your brother Esau. He got a woman that was ungodly. She's driving us out of our minds. Your mother and I, get out of this area and go where God's people are. And so he took about a 15-day journey to go find his girl in Padan Aram. And as he was traveling on his way to follow his dad's advice, he came to a place called Luz, L-U-Z, and he got tired, and he set up a bed, and he actually used a stone for a pillow. I'm sure it was cold. I like a cold pillow. How many of you like a cold pillow? I'm sure it was cold, but a little bit too hard for me. I like a hard pillow too, but not that hard. But anyway, he set that up, and God appeared to him in a prophetic vision. And he saw a ladder that went from earth to heaven, and the angels of God were going up and down that ladder. And the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, before he came to earth in human flesh, he appeared to Jacob, and he spoke to him. And here's what he said. He said, "And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall..." I'm sorry, I'm telling you what Jacob said. This is not what God said. Jacob, after he met with God, he set up a stone pillar. Not a pillow, now it's a pillar. And he put oil on the pillar, representing the Holy Spirit. And then Jacob said, "And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be at God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Genesis 28:22. So Jacob said, "God met with me here, so I'm going to call this not Luz anymore. This is Bethel, which means house of God. This is God's house." And he said, "In God's house, I'm going to make a promise that of all you give me for my income in my life, I'm going to give 10% back to you." Boy, that'd be a good promise to make to God. I hope you've done that. And Jacob wound up spending 20 years in the place where he went to find a wife. And he spent 20 years working for his father-in-law in Padan Aram. And God blessed him with a lot of wealth. He had a lot of herds and flocks, and he was very wealthy by God's blessing. But keep in mind, he'd made that promise to God in Bethel 20 years before that he would give 10% back to God. You know what? He was procrastinating on keeping his promise. And while he was away from Bethel, the house of God, he was not living close to the Lord and productive. By the way, people say to me, "Pastor, I don't need church to get to heaven." Well, you may get to heaven outside of the church. You may accept Jesus like I did in a home, but you won't be productive, and you won't grow for God, and you won't make an impact for God if you're not in the house of God. You need to be in the house of God. And sadly, there are many people on this back to school Sunday, which I'm calling also back to Bethel Sunday, they're not in the house of God. They have gotten away from the house of God like Jacob did, and they're not following through on things that they need to do. So here in Genesis 35, Jacob had returned to the promised land. He, after 20 years being away, returned with a lot of wealth. But instead of going right to Bethel, now that he was back in the promised land, he spent 10 years in a place called Shechem. His daughter got date raped there, and he had some bad experiences in Shechem. He neglected to get back to the house of God. Like many of God's people, he failed and procrastinated on doing what God wanted him to do. So today is back to school Sunday, but I hope today it will be back to Bethel Sunday for you. Even though Jacob had promised the Lord before he left that he would keep his promises to God, it was 30 years later that he finally did what God wanted him to do. And what a time of procrastination. Don't you procrastinate when it comes to getting to the house of God. Don't put it off. Perhaps Jacob was convicted that his family have idols, and his family did have idols. Rachel, his wife, had the love of his life, had stolen idols from her father's house. And the Bible says during his time away from Bethel, the house of God, his family was not living right, and they weren't dressing right either. You know, they had all kinds of worldly dress. Sometimes guys wear earrings like girls. And I'll say to them, you shouldn't wear earrings. That's like a sodomite does. They wear earrings. And they say, well, I wear it on the other side of the head that the sodomites wear it. I'm not a sodomite. I say, well, I don't want to be 6 inches from being a sodomite. Amen? I want to stay as far away from that. We don't believe the Bible teaches transgender junk either. The Bible teaches one man for one woman. And so Jacob's family, they had idols, they were not dressing right, and he understood that. And if you're in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, it will help you get rid of your idols. It'll help you to dress right, and boys will dress like boys, and girls will dress like girls. And so I'm saying that I had a guy that I led to the Lord, and he was away from his Bethel, this local church, and I said to him, you need to get back. And he said to me, yeah, I know, I need to get back. I'm just not doing it right now. He was procrastinating. And I said, well, I'm going to keep the light burning and the fire burning, but you need to come back. And that's what God said to Jacob. He said in Genesis 35:1, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee. And I'd like to preach on that. On this Back to School Sunday, I want to preach a message called, Back to Bethel, You Must Go. Back to Bethel, You Must Go. And I have 2 points. The number one is, because you need the house of God. Now, I could say the house of God needs you. But more than the house of God needs you, you need the house of God. Notice it says under you need the house of God, arise, go up to Bethel. And that's important, the two words, go up. Notice in the Old Testament, when anyone went to the house of God in Jerusalem, they always were said that they went up. Even if they lived in the south and it was north of them, it said they went up. Or if they went in the north of the temple and they went south to the temple, it still said they went up. And that is because when you go into the house of God, you are elevating. God is elevating your life. He's making it go up. And you know what? I went to Muskegon, Michigan when I was 17. How many of you are a teenager? All right, I can understand that. When I was 17, I was a teenager, and I was getting in fights, and I was not in good shape, you know, spiritually, obviously. And my mother got together with my grandmother, and they said, this kid needs help. He's in trouble. And I like my grandma because she cooked really good. I like good food. So I went to Muskegon, Michigan, right on Lake Michigan. And that summer in Muskegon, Michigan, I got saved by putting my faith in Jesus. I was 17. And I went back to high school. And then I went back to Muskegon, Michigan to work with my other uncle. And guess what? I joined an independent fundamental Baptist church called Calvary Baptist Church. You say, what happened? My life was going up. It was going up. I was on the lowest place, and then I met Christ, and Christ began to lead me up, and I joined that church. And before I joined it, I was already saved. I got baptized. You know what baptism is? They dunk you under the water. And I got dunked under the water and brought up. Now, I was baptized as a little baby, but that didn't count. I had to be born again. I was born again, and then I went to that church, got baptized. I joined that church, and my life was going up. If you hang around people that are not in the local church and they become your friends in that circle, you're hanging around the wrong crowd. That's why I tell kids, if you can go to homeschool or Christian school, get in it. Get away from the government brainwashing, because they're not washing your brain. They're filling your brain with lies about evolution, transgender, LGBTQ is good. No, it isn't. They're not going to tell you what's going to lift your life and make your life go up. And I'm reading about a man that was going away from God. His name was Jonah. And it says in verse 3 of chapter 1 of Jonah, but Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord and, get this, went down to Joppa. You see, Jonah had just heard from God, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to go to Syria and preach. And Jonah didn't want to be a missionary. And so he went away from Jerusalem, away from where God spoke to him in the house of God. And it says that he went down. And he paid a price. And he went down further and went to sleep. Oh, listen, if you get away from the house of God, you need the house of God, because it'll lift you up. If you get away, you'll go down and down, and guarantee you'll go down. Even when I'm on vacation, I make sure I'm in an independent fundamental Baptist church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and I know I need to get there and be there in the house of God on a prayer meeting and so forth. I'm saying I have known a number of people like Jonah in my years of pastoring here in this church. In fact, this past Sunday night, which was August 17th, I told my wife, we'd gone to an independent fundamental Baptist church with my daughter in the morning. I said, now, I want to go to Lighthouse Baptist Church in Holland, Michigan. It'll be about a half-hour drive. I'd like you to go there with me. And we went there together to Holland, Michigan. And I'm telling you, God met with us. We heard a message that was life-changing. It was a blessed time. And so I'm just saying we need to be in the house of God. You're going to go down, not up, if you get away. But under you needing the house of God, secondly, you need the house of God. And it says here to Jacob, God said, arise, go up to Bethel. And I want to focus on arise and go. Those words, arise and go. You know, don't just sit in your PJs on a Sunday morning. I know Bella's here today. She said she'd get her sister up and get her on the bus, but I guess her sister had to go somewhere else. But you know what? I get ticked off at these schools that have sporting events on Sunday. When I was a kid, they did not have sporting events on Sunday in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that is robbing us. Hey, I'm not against athletics. I think athletics are great and they could be good. But if you let it replace the Lord and church, that is an idol. And Jacob had idols in his house. There's some people, they stay away from church to watch the Super Bowl. No, that is an idol if you do that. He says, arise, get out of your PJs, get on the bus or get in your car, get to church, get dressed up and come out. And you say, what should I wear to the church? The best you have. The best you have in that closet. I remember when I met President Trump, Maria, your mother, she bought me a suit, a beautiful suit, and it matched Donald Trump's suit. And I went there, and I looked good with Donald there in the threads, you know. But, hey, Donald Trump's important. He's the president. But when I go to church, I'm going to wear the best I have in my closet because God wants the best you have. And if you get to church, he'll help you get better stuff in your closet. Amen. And I'm just saying, arise and get up there and do what God wants you to do. Since I've been back from Michigan, I've let five people I've led to Jesus. And one of the guys or two of the guys told me, Pastor, I'll be sure to be out at church. Now, I don't think he's here today, but he needs to get here. The sooner, the better. If you've heard the gospel and you've believed upon the Lord, you need to rise and come to church and keep coming. And when I preach a message, you need to rise out of your seat and come forward and say, Preacher, I need to get baptized. I want to get dunked. I don't care if you were baptized as a kid. If you've gotten saved, you need to get baptized after you get saved. That's like putting on the uniform and saying, I'm on the team Jesus, and I'm going to be here. And don't be like Jacob. He promised, I'll go to Bethel. I'll give 10%. And he went 10 years after he got back to the promised land. It took him 10 years to get to Bethel. And don't be like that. Perhaps you've been procrastinating about making a decision in your life, like getting baptized. It took me too long after I got saved to get baptized. Yeah, you should get baptized right away. And maybe you made a decision about coming to night church on Sunday night, but you haven't gone back to night church, back to Bethel. Or maybe you've made a decision about prayer meeting and you haven't gone back to prayer meeting. I want to encourage you to follow through on that decision. Don't procrastinate. Maybe you've made a decision about soul winning night to come out and you haven't followed through. I want to encourage you to follow through. Why don't you decide right now during this message? At the end of this message, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do what God showed me to do. And I'm going to come forward. And remember, the Bible says the righteous man falls seven times, but rises up again. And there's some things that you need to fix in your life. And guess what? When you go to the house of God and hear the word of God, that is preached to help you to fix things in your life. And this year, in September, we start a new business year. And the theme, I'm going to roll it out right now. The theme is remember what you need to fix in 2026. You're not going to remember what you need to fix in your life if you're not looking into the mirror of the Word of God. You know, before I come up here to church, I need to look at a full-length mirror. I don't think I did it, so I might be in trouble. But usually I do. I look in the mirror and I make sure there's nothing wrong with my appearance, because if I have some weird thing on my face or a boogie coming out of my nose, ooh, gross, or something weird, I'm going to lose half of the congregation. They're all going to be looking at that. You say, what half is it? The female half. They won't. The girls will see it. I guarantee you. The girls will see it. So I'm just saying, thirdly, under this idea that you need the house of God, it says that arise, go up to Bethel. Not only go up, not only arise, but Bethel. Remember, when Jacob got there, it was still the same Bethel, the house of God, when he left it 30 years before. In fact, the anointed stone was still there. I personally believe the Ark of the Covenant is still there where it's hidden. And the stone tablets are still in it. Amen. And I believe that that anointed stone was there when Jacob came there. And by the way, when you come back to this Bethel, this house of God, we have an anointed stone, an anointed rock here that we're holding up. But it's not a dead stone. It's a living stone. It's Jesus Christ. You may have changed over the summer, but Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. People may be trading in their old King James Bible for a new international or a new English version or some kind of new King James, which is not new King James at all. There's only one real King James. God hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. The Word of God doesn't change. You change. And when you get away from the Word of God, it's not for the better, it's for the worst. I'm saying that when you come to this church, and I come back to this church from Michigan, I know the living Lord Jesus is walking around this candlestick. He's watching over. He is the real pastor of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. He is the real head of Scranton. He's the head honcho at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I remember when I went to Holland, Michigan. We had a missionary there, and this man, I want to have him for a missionary conference. He preached with power and with the presence of God. And right there, the pastor said, okay, let's have a business meeting. I want to vote such and such a missionary off our budget. We're paying him $250 a month. And I want to vote this guy onto our budget. And the reason why he voted the old guy out is because he decided that he was going to get a new Bible. And he said, I want to stick with this guy and get that other guy and vote him off. And he did it. While we were there, I'm just saying God is blessing this book here, and God is blessing those that get back to the Bible, get back to the house of God and the preaching of the Word of God, and your ears need to hear the right stuff. And I'm saying that after Jesus saves you, you need to get baptized, you need to become part of the house of God and make decisions here at the house of God. The Bible says, the Apostle Peter said, that if you're born again, you're a living stone and you're built into the temple of God. And there's a fourth thing about you needing the church of God. Here's what it says in Genesis 35 again. He says, arise, go up to Bethel, that's the house of God, and dwell there. Dwell there. You know what the word dwell means? It means bury yourself in the church until God blasts you out to another Bible-believing church. You bury yourself there. You dwell there in the church. I remember I was talking to Matt about that, and I said, Matt, he kept coming to the church, then leaving. I think he did it three times. I said, Matt, you need to bury yourself in and stay there, and you need to serve God there. And he has done it, and God has blessed his life. It has gone up. Amen. I said, you need to meet your wife there, right? I said, you need to do that. And I'm just saying that that is how it is. I met my wife not in a bar. I met her in an independent fundamental Baptist church called Emmanuel Baptist Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. When I was down there for the summer, the first Sunday I was in church. I was working down there after my first year at Baptist Bible College. And boom, I went there and met my wife there in that church. And what a blessing that has been to me. I think of Jose Valley. He just sang this morning. Brother Jose is a bus captain. Brother Jose, I love his solos. Amen. And Brother Jose teaches Sunday school, a young man in his 20s. And you know what? I remember seeing him come to the church and then leave. And then he had some girlfriend that was not the best for him. And he would come and he would leave and so forth. And I said to Brother Z here, I said, you know what Jose needs? He needs to get locked in. He needs to dwell here. And guess what? Jose started coming Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, soul winning. And he's been doing that now for a number of years. He's studying for the ministry in our college. He's locked in. Some of you, if you're not careful, you're not going to dwell here. You're going to start getting away. You're going to get in church, get in Sunday school, get in Christian school, then start going to where you're going to get pulled away. Pulled away! Listen, back to Bethel. You must go. You need the house of God. And you need to dwell in the house of God so that you can get blessed and stay there and dwell there, and you will find your wife, the right wife for you, not some floozy that's going to bring you down. Back to Bethel, you must go because, number one, you need the house of God. Number two, and last, because you need the altar in the house of God. Now, I'm going to read it to you. Here's what it says. Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there, in the house of God, an altar unto God that appeared unto thee. You say, where is the altar in this house of God? Right here. Right here. It's accessible to you. Because when you come to the house of God and you hear the word of God, it's time for you to arise and go to the, not just the house of God, you're already in here. That's only half of it. Are you going to the altar here? There are a lot of people, they may arise and go to the house of God, but it doesn't change them. They don't really meet with God. They don't really hear from God. I like what our first pastor used to say. He said, it is not just the word of God that you're dealing with here. You're dealing with the God of the word. And you need to hear and deal with the God of the word. Because he's real. And so it's not just enough to go here and to lay down and go to sleep or something like that here. That's not what these pews are made for. We don't put pillows on here. We don't even make the pews that soft. But still you may manage to go to sleep. But that's not what God wants. God wants you to be awake. And sometimes people say, preacher, you preach loud. Well, the church is in a slumber. They've got cobwebs going from their head right down to the pew. And we need to wake up and hear what God says. And God speaks to our hearts. Now, it's not necessarily how loud you speak, though. When God's all over somebody, you feel that. And when God's all over somebody, it changes me, and I want to make my way to the altar. And I want to bow before God, and I want to say, God, you spoke to me. Now work in my life and deal in my life. And the reason why I am where I am, if there's anything good going on in my life, is not just because I went to the house of God. Thank God you're here. But I went to the altar of God when God met with me and dealt with me. And I confessed my sin and I made commitments to God at the altar to stay with those commitments. And we're not just a social club here. Oh, I'm coming here to meet with my friends. I mean, it's great to meet with your friends. I like that. But not while I'm preaching. You need to meet with God. And have God work in your life. And this is a place where you're to build an altar so that you can walk with God himself. No friends can do that for you. No group of people. Even your wife can't do it. Your girlfriend can't do it. Your boyfriend can't do it. You have to do it. And when you have a church that's not a social club, here's what you're going to get. It says in the book of Acts, after God dealt with Ananias and Sapphira, and of the rest durst no man join himself unto them. They were afraid to join that church because they said, God kills people here sometimes. And we don't want to be part of that. I remember bringing somebody forward and they were placed on church discipline for fornication. And there was a lady in this church who I'd been talking to, and she was living with a guy that she was not married to. By the way, living with somebody you're not married to is called fornication, and God says, run away from that, flee it. Bible says God will judge that. He will judge it. And this lady saw judgment in the church on that. And there should be judgment in the church. People said, don't judge. That just means don't judge out of your area. The church is to judge. You want to be a homosexual? You need to get saved and then get away from that lifestyle and then join the church. And this lady said, she said, when she saw that happen in the church, she said, so you've got to be married to join the church. You can't be living with somebody not married to them to join. And I said, yes, that's right. That's right. So God wants you to make commitments and stay with them at the altar. And secondly, under the idea of the altar, it says in Genesis 35, verse 7, it says, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him. Now, the word El means God. Bethel means house, and El at the end means God. So it's God of the house of God. You see, he changed the name of it when he came back, and he put God at both ends. How many have ever eaten a sandwich? Raise your hand. Okay. How many like sandwiches sometime? Yeah. Well, God is on both sides of the meat or whatever you put in the middle of the sandwich. He needs to be the beginning and the end of it all. God, we're here to meet with God and have his presence be welcome here and have his spirit take his word and speak to your heart here. And Pastor Ware used to say that you need to meet with God here. We're not just rallying around a cause. We're meeting with and growing up into a person. And I mentioned to you, I went to Lighthouse Baptist Church last Sunday night, Holland, Michigan. And God himself dealt with me during that sermon. When the invitation was given, man, I was ready to come forward. God had spoken to my heart. And thank God for that. And it's something that is still with me. It's still with me. In fact, the text that was preached, I'm going to preach it tonight. So if you come back at 7, you'll get that same text. But it says in 1 Corinthians 14:25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You know what? When God is moving in a church service, God makes known the secrets of your heart to you and things you've done wrong. He makes it known to you. I've had people tell me, Pastor, how did you know I was doing drugs? How did you know I was smoking pot? How did you know I was getting drunk? How did you know I was fornicating? Listen, I'm just preaching what the Bible says. God knew it. He's dealing with you. And when God speaks to your heart and you want to be saved by Jesus, he will save you. When you come to Jesus, he won't cast you out. He died to pay for those sins and to give you a new life. And so you're here and you should come to that altar and fall down before God and say, God, you've spoken to my heart, so that you can get blessed. We're in Back to School Sunday this morning. How about let it be Back to the House of God Sunday for you? How about it be Back to God's Altar, where you start using the altar again? How about it be Back to the Bible, if you need to get back to reading your Bible and studying your Bible? How about back to your first love, if some other idol has gotten in there that you love more than Jesus? How about getting back to your first love? How about getting back to soul winning as number one, telling people about Jesus? How about getting baptized and getting back to what the Bible says? How about getting back to going, listen, to night services? Hey, remember when you used to go to night services? Now you're too busy for God? For that? Or too tired for that? Oh, you're too busy. How about getting back to prayer and going to prayer meeting? How about making personal promises to God and getting back to them and saying, Lord, I'm coming back to you on back to school Sunday. Back to Bethel. You must go. You need that. The house of God. And you need the altar of God. Let's bow for prayer this morning, everyone. Please bow for prayer. And I want to ask you a question this morning.